Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven, and you can find them on the web at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. Tonight's guest is Dr. Julie Beischel, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. And good evening to you, Bob.
And the same to you. And I know that you mentioned Dr. Beischel will be here soon. The one of the things that she's going to be talking about, in addition to mediumship, which everybody is always interested from a scientific perspective, but she'll be talking about grief and how the role the mediums might play in grief. And I know we're going to have a grief retreat that's coming up in
July 26th through 28th. It starts on a Friday night, and we go through Sunday night. It's in Chester, Connecticut. It's going to be a cozy little group of just 50 people, and then we're going to take those 50 people and break them up into even smaller groups. And everybody's going to get these hands-on workshops with a lot of the facilitators, well, with all of the facilitators. It's not like they have to pick and choose like other retreats. Everybody gets to go to everything.
Yeah, I look forward to these retreat weekends because it's one of the few things that we do where it's relaxed and it's cozy, as you said, and it's meaningful. You see a lot of people, you know, come away in better emotional shape than they were when they came in. And didn't you? I was thinking about it. Emotions, like when you think about it, if you're watching a movie or a TV show and you're engrossed in it and it's very emotional, and after the movie is over, it could take over your thoughts for a day or two, and you're absorbed, and then gradually, as the week goes on, you know, the rational, so-called rational side of you steps in and says, well, these were just actors, and this is, you know, just playing a role, and it's not real, and those things, you know, don't happen. And similar things, I think, go on when you read a book, you know, or you could be enraptured by music, you know, or art, and you're caught up in the moment, and then time wanes, and again, you have a different perspective. And I think that's the same when it comes to a lot of the work that we do with grief and the belief in the afterlife, is that people, they'll go to, it could be a medium demonstration, or it could be a scientific lecture, or it could be even a personal experience that they have, and the emotions build up, and it gives them some degree of comfort, you know, in their grief. And then they, you know, because of all the baggage we carry with us, we tend to dismiss it later on. So I think at these grief retreats, I think you would agree, Fran, what we do is we want to give people tools so it won't be as fleeting, you know, different things that they can do to keep, you know, this momentum going, so to speak.
And I know what you mean when you say momentum, but yeah, it's more of it's their new life, and it's a new lifestyle. And they weren't born with the tools in how to get through this lifestyle, because we've become such a materialistic, physically oriented world that we don't have resources at our fingertips that relate to an unseen world. So at this retreat, we're going to give them those tools that they'll be able to utilize every day to keep the conversation and the relationship with their deceased loved ones going on. I think that's the big difference between the way we view grief and traditional therapists view grief. Traditional therapists always wanted you to separate from the grief and move on, and we suggest maintaining that relationship with the loved one. We know from the research and the channeled reports and the work that we do is that our deceased loved ones want nothing more than for us to know that they are with us and they are remaining a part of our lives. And it's our job to make sure that we keep up our end of the bargain in that relationship.
Well, and also a lot of these techniques that some of the presenters will teach and reinforce include like meditation and some sort of like self-hypnosis or altered state of consciousness and dream, cultivating, you know, dream visits and music and things of that nature. But it's also meant to increase the probability of you having direct personal experiences, because ultimately I think that's the most important thing, is that if you have a personal experience.
There's no way to continue the relationship if you're not getting direct feedback from the other side. So that is part of what we're going to be teaching the attendees, how to open up and allow their loved ones to come through and to recognize when they're coming through.
And I think that'll, in the next couple of days, that'll be up on the website, and there'll be some dedicated pages to that, so people interested can...
Right, and people who are going to sign up, there are only 50 spots in this. It filled up quickly last time, and just to let you know, to keep your eye out for it if you're very interested in going.
No, I think I'll know the answer when I ask you this, but when you have a personal experience, like some sort of after-death communication, do you still at this point, I don't know if that you ever did, do you question, as time wanes after your experience, does the significance of the experience tend to dissipate, or for you, you're at the point where you have this knowing, and it's just, you don't need the reinforcement, and you don't need it every day.
Oh, I would love it every day.
Yeah.
I'm just way too busy to give it the attention that I'm suggesting other people do. But if you do give it that attention, it's there. And I know people who talk to their deceased loved ones every day and quiet themselves and get answers. And what I'm suggesting that they do, and many of these people do it, is write it down. Because the act of writing it down does two things. First of all, it creates a little diary or something where you can go back and read all these wonderful experiences and literally relive them when you're having those moments of sadness or doubt. The other thing that it does is it seems to play a role in opening you up for more. The act of writing it down and revisiting it while you're writing it down opens you up for more.
Well, you may have noticed earlier this week that I was sitting up in bed writing at 4 a.m. with my heart pounding, and that was because I had a dream visit, which I hadn't had in quite some time. And the reason I bring that up is because, when you have those, you're immersed in them, and it's so unbelievable that you have this direct connection, and there's no doubt in your mind, and yet, you know, a couple of days later, I still have those periods where you get those, you know, little bits of doubt, you know, could I have possibly imagined it? Was this some manifestation of my imagination? But then again, what is imagination, you know?
Right, but I don't think everybody has the level of doubt that you have. I'm saying there's a good population, probably 50-50, of the people who have these visits and relish them at the moment and then question it soon afterwards. And then the ones who have this inner knowing who say, wow, that was fabulous, and it stays with them. So,
well, we're going to have a wonderful guest this evening, Dr. Julie Beischel. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we will return with Dr. Julie Beischel. So stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida, fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Julie Beischel. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven at www.hugsfromheaven.com, and Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. Bob?
And Dr. Julie Beischel is co-founder and director of research at the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential. She's a professional member of the Parapsychological Association and the Society for Scientific Exploration. She serves on the scientific advisory boards of the Rhine Research Center and Forever Family Foundation. She is the director of both the Spirits and Spirit Communication and the Survival and Life After Death Research Departments at the World Institute for Scientific Exploration. She's adjunct faculty in the School of Psychology and Interdisciplinary Inquiry at Saybrook University. And most importantly, she's the author of a new ebook. It's called Among Mediums, A Scientist's quest for answers. You can learn a lot more about WinBridge at winbridge.org, and there is a website that they set up for the book, which is amongmediums.com. And in a little bit, we're going to be talking about a brand new website that has a specific purpose, and that is afterlifescience.com. Welcome, Julie. Nice to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me again.
And, you know, you may have noticed in that long-winded introduction when I mentioned the WinBridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, some people, they may get the applied research part, but they're not sure about the human potential. So how could things like mediumship and survival research fit in with human potential?
Well, really, our mission is really about what are the capabilities of the mind-body-spirit system. So, you know, we come into this world and we have, you know, we have a body and we have a mind and we have a spirit, and how can those things help us? That's where the applied research comes in. How can those things better our lives on a daily basis, the capacities that those things have? So one of them are, yeah, there's these people who experience regular communication with the deceased. So that's the potential, right? That's their human potential. And, you know, I like to say if one human brain can do it, then possibly all human brains could do it. But it's probably one of those things like playing the piano where you're either really good at it at the, you know, when you first sit down, or, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you could take lessons for 15 years and never really get that good. So there's probably this innate ability, but there's probably a way to hone the ability. Again, you know, we're sort of at the infancy of this research, so that's not something that we've looked at specifically, but it is something that we're interested in. Can people learn to access that potential that they have within themselves in communication with the deceased?
That's an interesting point. Because a lot of people ask that. They say, well, I couldn't possibly do it because, you know, mediums are born that way. And I've noticed, as I'm sure you have, that a lot of mediums talk about having this ability when they were children. And then, you know, then and I'm sure you get asked a lot from people, can I become a medium? And so the answer is maybe, right?
right. At this point, yeah, the only thing I can say is maybe. You know, that like I was saying, if one human brain can do it, then it's possible, right? Because it's just a perception. But that perception is based in our biology, just like, you know, people have 20/20 vision, so I should be able to see without my glasses, but I can't because of my biology. So there might be limitations physiologically and that we don't know. Again, yeah, we haven't looked at that specifically. You know, I only have two hands, so I can't look at all the questions that I'm interested in.
Yeah, well, it takes a bunch of hands and a bunch of money. So fundraising, that's one of the things that hopefully you'll be able to do is I would imagine in your house you probably have stacks and stacks of papers with future research projects that you would like to do that people have suggested and waiting for funding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, from you know, smaller projects to, you know, projects that would require, you know, I have ideas about fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging studies, but that magnet is expensive. So that like study on that end of the spectrum would be quite expensive. But then there are things that, you know, a few thousand dollars, you know, we could address something and, you know, make a difference in the literature, learn something, you know, find something, demonstrate something about mediumship that no one knew before.
Yeah, and you know, those that are interested, take a look at the website, winbridge.org. You have opportunities to become part of the research, not only to send in a contribution, but, you know, get updated on how things are going. You know, you mentioned, I don't know if I ever asked you this, but what was it that first gave you the idea that you could use your scientific training to research something as controversial as mediumship?
To be totally honest, it was me getting very pissed off. I lost my, this isn't the part where I get pissed out, but I lost my mother when I was in graduate school. She committed suicide, and I went through my normal process, my normal grieving process. And a few years later, I'd seen John Edwards Crossing Over on TV, and I thought, well, that looks real. Those people seem really moved, but I'm a scientist. I need to see that for myself. So I looked into it, and the waiting list was, you know, years long. So I saw a local medium, and it was really, I'd read a little bit about cold reading. So I was really impressed with what she was reporting that, you know, I knew there was no way that she could have read from me. You know, it included the things like, excuse me, that I had to check on that I didn't know for myself, and I had to check with my mom's sisters, you know, and then they said, oh, right. Yeah, that's great. So it wasn't even, you know, she wasn't even reading my mind because I didn't know those things at the time. And I took that like, oh, wow, I had this really interesting experience, and here's this phenomenon I didn't know anything about, and it seems like there's something to it. And I took that information, and I went back to school and went back to my classes and to the lab, and I told people, you know, I told my friends and my, you know, some of my professors and whatnot. And as, you know, a good scientist should do, most people said, oh, wow, I don't know anything about that, but that sounds really interesting. And I trust that, you know, I trust your experience. But some people said, all mediums are frauds. She was just reading, you know, they said all the rhetoric that skeptics will say, oh, no, she's just reading. She's just cold reading you. You were giving her the information. And I got really angry. Like, one, you're supposed to be a scientist, and that means being open-minded and not making assumptions and not drawing conclusions without data. So that made me really angry, and I thought, this is a whole group of people who are just doing what they feel compelled with their abilities to do to help people, and people who don't know anything about them are calling them frauds, every single one of them. They're just grouping them all together. So that made me very angry. And yeah. I thought, a scientist needs to stand up for them. So I have a very strong sense of justice. So that, I thought that was really terrible. So I decided then and there that that wasn't fair, and I was going to help them. Mm. And I was going to be an advocate.
And I'm sure, and a good, quite a good advocate, I might add. And I'm sure you get pissed off on a regular basis still to this day because that scientism and that skeptical attitude that you get from your colleagues, despite the fact that the protocol you use is more stringent and better designed than the protocol they use in their own research, they just refuse to leave. To some degree, a lot of them just refuse to acknowledge the work altogether. I mean,
yeah.
What is it?
What is it that the Hulk says? That's the secret, Bob. I'm always angry.
Yeah. You know, that's why you're a good scientist. You know, you got to keep that edge to keep on going. You know, we were talking about this new book that you wrote, and a lot of these things people can read about in among mediums. And one of the things you said when you talk about survival and some of the things you research is that there are believers and deniers, and naturally as a scientist you're trained to fall somewhere in the middle. But when we talk about a belief in the afterlife, don't you think there are a great many people who are on the fence, that they're just not sure?
Yeah, I mean, I would even put myself in that category. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to provide definitive proof of an afterlife until you're there. And I haven't been there, so I can't say. But the data, the collection of data, and different fields, mediumship, near-death experiences, children who remember past lives, all those kind of things put together, you know, the data are supportive of that that's what's going on. But yeah, you know, in your heart, you live your whole life. You know, life has mystery in it, right? And that's an important part of human existence is the mystery. You know, a lot of people say, you have to prove to me, you know, I need to know whether it's real or not. Like, we're getting there. But, you know, the mystery of it is important too, I think. So we will continue to collect data to try and answer that question. And I think the most, you know, what I've really noticed is that I can spout, you know, my p-values and my quintuple blind protocol, but sometimes a personal experience is so much more powerful. So the people who've had these experiences, like, they don't need my data. Of course they know there's an afterlife because they talked to their dead husband or mother or sister or, you know, whoever, their lost loved one on the other side, and they're convinced, and that's all they need. So I think it's this collection of personal experiences plus data collected under controlled conditions that really make a case for the continuation of consciousness when there's no longer a physical body to house it.
And what, obviously it's a difficult question, but when you think about the process by which this communication takes place, I mean, would you put it in a classification as a telepathic process?
You know, we have to throw these words around because we don't have all the right language, right? Like, that's what, you know, mediums talk about energy, but that's a physics word, right? So that's really probably not. So we sort of have to come up with our own language to really describe these things. But yeah, if I just use the general word psi, so PSI. So a medium is using psi, how whatever she's doing, psi is involved, right? So if you take the skeptical standpoint, the parapsychological skeptical standpoint of, oh, she's not talking to the dead, she's just using telepathy, clairvoyance, and precognition, that's psi, she's using psi. And then if you take the side of the survival hypothesis, she's communicating with the dead, then she's still using psi because she's not using her ears, this, you know, or everyone would be able to hear it. So it's something, she's using some form of psi to communicate with the deceased. So, you know, that's one aspect of mediumship that's interesting. Whatever they're doing, it involves psi. And studying mediumship where the participants can perform the phenomenon on demand, that's a really beneficial research opportunity where you can look at psi, again, because whatever's happening, it's psi. And to have, especially the talented Winbridge certified research mediums that we work with, you know, are scientifically minded and they understand these alternative hypotheses and the need for controls and the need for blinding, and that, you know, over and over we can sort of look at their experiences and the information that they report and its accuracy, even though everybody in the experiment is blinded, then that, you know, that helps us learn about psi. We don't have to wait for spontaneous experiences of, you know, my phone rang and I knew who it was. Well, that, you can't bring that into the lab so much. I mean, Rupert Sheldrake did, but bringing spontaneous experiences is difficult. So working with these participants who are able to perform communication with the deceased, which is what they experience on demand, is really a great opportunity research-wise.
Mm. You know, so many of these things that you study, you know, people, give the moniker of paranormal to. And I enjoyed, you know, reading in Among Mediums, you were talking about what you mentioned before, you know, going to a medium, and you had an evidential reading after your mom had passed. And after you left, you said you felt strangely normal. So I take it that was not what you expected or would have anticipated when you walked into the medium.
Right. You know, we're just sitting on her couch in her living room. And yeah, I walked back to the car thinking, wow, I feel oddly normal for just having talked to my dead mother. Yeah, like that. It was weird how normal that felt, like, you know, reflecting on it right after it happened. Like, wow, that wasn't so like woo woo and weird, like just a woman. And she's just telling me these things and they're, you know, they're emotional and, you know, but that just a lady on a couch, right? Not scary.
Right. Well, that really says a lot because, you know, when your experience, I would imagine, is not much different from many others that have such experiences. And you have, you walk away thinking that maybe that's the way it is. You know, we're supposed to be doing this instead of labeling it with some sort of freakish occurrence. So I think that speaks volumes when you said you felt strangely normal.
Yeah, and I think people, the misconception, I think, comes from the popular media, right? What we see in movies and on TV misrepresents what these phenomena are really like in real life. You know, yeah, these are just people. There's people with kids and jobs and interests, and they happen to be able to perceive communication with the deceased. Mm. And, you know, sitting down with them is potentially healing, and, you know, yeah, it's not woo-woo. It's not strange, you know, and we should stop classifying it as, yeah, paranormal, because it's been happening for hundreds of years, right? When scientists first started studying mediumship in the 1880s, that's what people did on Saturday nights. They all went to someone's house and they had a seance. And that was just what people did. So, you know, for us to call communication strange now, like, that's kind of, that would be laughable to those people, because they did it every week. That's, you know, that's how they spent their time together. So,
There was no Facebook then?
Not so much, no.
Not so much. Well, you know, a lot of people will say that believing in an afterlife is perhaps, you know, the most effective type of grief therapy that there is. And a lot of the qualified mediums, you know, whether they realize it or not, are really acting as grief counselors, you know, in this respect. So I take it that you see some integration, you know, of mediumship in the mental health field in the future?
Definitely. And, you know, I want to be cautious about, I don't think that mediums can serve as grief counselors, because, you know, what our research has shown is that they enter sort of an altered state. So they have one job during a mediumship reading, and that is to convey messages. And they can't, you know, a good counselor needs to, their one job is to focus on you and keep track of what's changing in you and how you're reacting. And they can't do that. A medium can't do that. So you can't wear those two hats at the same time. So yeah, what I foresee is the working together. So, you know, receiving information from a medium, and if necessary, working with a mental health professional in order to integrate that information and the fact that that person is still part of your life into your new life now that they're deceased.
Mm. And I think there are some strides that are being made in that direction. I know that I'm sure that you get inquiries. I know we certainly do from mental health professionals that are really unfamiliar with mediumship, and they're asking all sorts of questions because they'd like to integrate it into their practice. So you are starting a research project involving bereavement and mediumship. So tell us a little. We're going to go to a break soon, and we'll talk about this more after the break, but give us an overview of what the research will be.
So I've designed a randomized clinical trial, right? My PhD is in pharmacology, so I'm trained to design drug trials. So I designed a drug trial, except instead of a pill, it's a mediumship reading. And so using a standardized grief instrument and a randomized waitlist control groups, you know, people are randomly assigned to the treatment group or the control group, and the treatment group receives a reading and they take the standardized, you know, grief questionnaire before and after. And it's a standard clinical trial looking at the effects of mediumship readings on people's experiences of their level of grief. And bringing it to the people in order who recognize that that's an important study that needs to be conducted. And so we're crowdfunding, as a lot of artists and musicians and scientists are doing these days. They're allowing people who are interested in the topics to contribute funds in order to perform a project and receive incentives in return for their contributions. So the study that I've designed, we call it in-house, the BAM study, Bereavement and Mediumship. So I'm collecting research support funding for the BAM study, and people can go to afterlifescience.com to learn more about that study and to contribute. And yeah, we need to talk way more about the study when we come back from break.
Yeah, we will, and that website is afterlifescience.com. On the website, it'll also point you to the WinBridge site, which is winbridge.org. When we come back, we're going to talk more about bereavement and mediumship and some other stuff. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Alan Ross Huguenot, author of The Death Experience, What It Is Like When You Die, describes what people will experience as they die. Alan's book is based on his own near-death experience, combined with 40 years of afterlife research. As a graduate engineer, he collated the latest science of quantum field theory and the physics of consciousness while postulating a scientific basis for the location of the afterlife. Learn more at www.afterlife.pro. The Death Experience is available in paperback, Kindle, or Nook editions.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com. That's KAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Julie Beischel. This show is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven at www.hugsfromheaven.com, and Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631 425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. And we want you to know there are three ways you can show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. The first is to go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Second, you can use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a space to add a comment on what you love and what you don't like so much about the show. And three, you can remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you will need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 1,000 online stores like The Body Shop, Vistaprint, Weight Watchers, or Zales, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is in full swing, but as of tonight, only 47 people have entered. There are five winners that will be drawn to each win a one-hour reading with a Forever Family Foundation certified medium. So if you are a good gambler or just really want to win a reading with a medium or just want to win something for once in your life, this might be your best chance. You can either use the link on the Signs of Life Radio email we sent out this morning or raffle link that appears on the very first page of our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to win one or more readings with Lynn LeClaire, Neil Zapowski, Janet Mayer, Lee Ashley, or Renata Santarelli. The drawing is set for April 22nd. That's Earth Day, so hurry. There is not much time left. Also, our Night of Mediums, our annual fundraiser, is April 12th, 2013, at the Melville Marriott, with lots of certified mediums coming from across the country to take part in this fundraiser. Sales have now opened up to the general public, and the new ads hit the street next week, so if you are thinking about attending, it might be time to make your decision and make your reservations now. For those not familiar with this very special night, we begin at 7 p.m. with a banquet dinner served to round tables of 12, and once dessert is set upon your table, a Forever Family Foundation certified medium will be seated at your table for an evening of spirit communication for just the 12 of you. If you have been to this before and you think you've been to all of our New York mediums, our special surprise is that we have a bunch of certified mediums who are coming in from across the United States. So you really want to be there for this gala event. And finally, our Grief Transformation Weekend, set for July 26th to 28th at the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. The first 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. Watch for announcements in your email boxes, which will tell you all about this exciting weekend with Dr. Garrett Jackson, Paul Alexander, Dr. Betty Kovac, Doreen Malloy, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, and our Healing Reiki team of volunteers. If you'd like to be put on the first notification list, please send us an email at events@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And we're back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Julie Beischel. And Julie is the author of Among Mediums, A Scientist's Quest for Answers. And I'd encourage you, you know, it's an e-book. It's an easy and delightful read. Julie gets into the science end of it, but doesn't pound you over the head with it. It's very informative, and you'll enjoy reading it. I know it's $4.99, we touched upon this, and you wonder why we keep mentioning it, but organizations such as Winbridge, I mean, they just don't get the NIH grants and substantial money from the outside for reasons that you could suspect. And it's important because even in the sale of books and through the website of afterlifescience.com and taking part in studies along the way, that's what keeps the research going. The research can't move on, you know, without direct help. It's just the nature of it. So when it comes to the book, $5, you'll do a world of good, and you'll enjoy it in the process. So I encourage you to check that out. And Julie, back to the bereavement and mediumship project. So tell me more about it. You're going to be seeking out people and who have had visits with mediums, and you'll be asking them to sort of rate their experience, or how's that going to work?
No, we'll be working with the Winbridge Certified Research Mediums and
right.
the clients that they were going to have anyway. So we're trying to look at the change in grief in people who were going to get a mediumship reading anyway. So people interested, people open to the fact that, you know, that this might be a positive experience, and people willing to pay for a reading. So we'll collect our participants from the client list of the mediums, the people that were going to get a reading anyway. And then all we'll do is sort of swoop in and have them fill out a questionnaire online. It's a month before and then the day after their mediumship reading. And then we compare the answers to the questionnaire before and after. And so then we have a definitive way of quantifying changes in the levels of grief. And then we'll compare it to a control group, people that are waiting, right? Because a lot of these mediums are quite busy and they have a waiting list. So when you schedule a reading, maybe it's a few months out. And so we'll also have a control group. It's called a wait list control. And that's a common control group for in studies where you don't want to withhold the treatment from people, and that, you know, you can't give a placebo. So, like, there's lots of studies where you can't give a placebo, right? If people are, researchers are studying the effects of yoga or the effects of meditation practices, you can't do a placebo of those things. So what they do is they just have a group that doesn't do it, and they compare the two. So what our control group is just a wait list control. So it's just people waiting to receive a reading, and they fill out the questionnaire, you know, on one day and then 30 days later and without a mediumship reading in between. So it's just because one of the only things that has ever been demonstrated to really alleviate grief is the passage of time. And so everybody does better in a grief study because time has passed since the last time they took the test. So what we want to do is compare the group that gets mediumship readings to the group that doesn't, but which, you know, the same amount of time has passed.
Sounds intriguing. Fran, did you want to you had a call waiting?
Yeah, we have a caller. We have Kathy Martin on line 2 from North Carolina.
Kathy?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
You're on,
hi.
Hi. Hi, you're on with Dr.
Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I've got a question for you. I'm a medium. And I had a group here a week or two ago. It was a family group. I don't know exactly what all of the relationships were, but two of the members were young men. They were late teens, early 20s. And I don't know what their relationship was, but then they had I had a mother and a father who would have been old enough to be their age. That what they wanted me to do was to channel their deceased son who died in his teens. And I was somewhat successful, but I certainly wouldn't have called it one of my better experiences. And the mother was very anxious to have this happen. The father was very withdrawn, but he was withdrawn because he wanted it to happen. The mother was the only one who focused on me, and the two young men who may have been brothers or may have been friends, I'm not sure, never looked at me once, not even when they walked in the door. And I was disappointed for them, and I really was concerned about it. And then I realized after a couple of days, I gave it some thought, I think the energy that they brought to it actually blocked the experience for them. And what I'm asking is, do you find that in... I'm sorry?
No, I was just asking if that was your question, whether you put that energy...
If you find that to be something with your mediums, if the energy that the sitter brings, if the sitter is not engaged, do you find that blocks the experience?
So we understand the potential for that to happen. The other thing is people that are sort of closed off to the possibility wouldn't be very good at scoring the accuracy, right? Because they think that it's bunk and they're just going to say, no, that's wrong, even if it isn't. Potentially. So in our research, we specifically recruit sitters who, you know, want to receive a reading and, you know, report being open to it and who report that they feel that their deceased person would want to come through. And so we don't want to try and see what would happen when you give a reading to a skeptic because, you know, if I was dead and, you know, someone was, I want to talk to Julie, but I'm not going to believe it. You know, all mediums are frauds, and I'm not going to. Then why would I waste my time coming to talk to them? So we just don't.
Yeah.
We don't have that experience in our research because we don't work with those people.
Okay.
So that's
and I thought that was a possibility with you. I just I encountered that when I used to do the group sessions here, and I encountered it to some degree. It's one of the reasons I stopped doing them because people wanted a performance. And I wasn't interested in giving a performance. And
right.
That's one of the reasons I quit doing the group sessions. But it did seem to me that because the two young men were not engaged, that had a lot to do with the success of the experience. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your question.
Thanks for calling. Julie, one of your research interests is in, you know, the medium's physiology. So what do you expect that we might be able to learn by the way a medium's body works?
So we're very excited. We just the beginning of this year received notification that we had received a grant to look at that specifically. So I designed a study, and over the next 2 years we'll be looking at the grant will cover five medium participants will come to Tucson, where I am, and we work with a physician, and we'll collect blood before and after reading, as well as, you know, other physiological measurements, blood pressure, you know, heart rate, all those kind of things. And so we'll look at what kinds of things change during a reading. Anecdotally, a lot of mediums report health problems. So we'd like to see, is there something about the mediumship process that, you know, are they releasing more cortisol? You know, are they releasing more adrenaline? Those sorts of things that can be detrimental in large amounts. And, you know, people who are doing readings regularly every day, that can take a toll on the body. But no one's looked at that in modern day, you know, with modern day technology and, you know, lab tests and that sort of thing that you can run on blood. So we're really excited to look at that. And it's the first step in learning more about what's happening with the physiology of the mediums during readings.
Mm, that sounds really interesting. Of course, in 100 years ago, they would just try to examine ectoplasm, right? Now it's cortisol.
Right.
in that type of research, who knows, you might discover some common denominator which would give us a key to enable other people to connect with their loved ones, you know,
right.
So that you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a pilot study, and it's just a shotgun approach. That's why you have to do first studies. Just go, let's look at some things and see if there's changes, and then it lets you hone your hypotheses, you know, narrower and narrower till you really get at the heart of something.
Right. So I think our listeners can get a taste of there's just so many things to do and so many things that could make such a big difference. In the way we view our lives, and you're jumping and you're spinning your wheels as fast as you can. People can learn more by going on winbridge.org. They can learn more about the book on amongmediums.com. And most importantly, this new bereavement and mediumship study, they can actually take part in and really do something to further research, and with the dollars go directly towards furthering research, and they can go to afterlifescience.com. And Julie, thanks so much for being with us. I hope you'll join us again real soon, and best of luck in your these endeavors, and you'll please keep us posted as time goes on.
I will. Thanks so much for having me, Bob.
Thanks. Take care.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Martin, Tina Jocelyn, Barbara Russell, Nancy Scheel, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Farron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Newland, Flora Prisco, Tracy Lee Nash, Miriam Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Melissa Gould, Linda, Laura Lynn Jackson, Andy O'Brien. And now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.